Welcome back. This lesson is all about dynamic modulation handoffs for clean mixes, and this is advanced territory. In drum and bass, the issue usually is not getting movement. You already know how to make things move. The real challenge is keeping that movement exciting without turning your mix into a foggy, over-automated mess. That is where modulation handoffs become powerful. A modulation handoff is exactly what it sounds like. One type of movement passes the energy to another type of movement in a controlled, musical way. So instead of filter automation, LFO wobble, distortion drive, reverb throws, stereo width changes, and resampling tricks all screaming for attention at once, you decide who is in charge in each section. That mindset is huge in drum and bass, because your sub needs stability, your mid-bass needs attitude, your drums need punch, and your arrangement still needs to keep evolving. If everything moves at the same time, the track might sound impressive soloed, but in context it usually gets muddy fast. In this lesson, you're building a 16-bar rolling DNB bass section, where movement gets handed off cleanly. First the filter leads, then drive takes over, then the spatial stuff shifts into the tops only, and finally, the bass calms down while drums and transition effects inherit the energy. That is the key phrase here. Movement is preserved, but its location changes. Start with a fresh Ableton session. Set the tempo somewhere around 172 to 176 BPM, keep it in 4/4, and loop 16 bars. Make tracks for kick, snare, break layer, sub-bass, mid-bass, bass tops effects, drum bus, and a couple of returns like a short room and a dub-style echo. The separation matters. This lesson really depends on splitting bass by function. You want a sub-lane, a body lane, and a tops or ambience lane. When everything lives on one giant bass track, handoffs get messy very quickly. When the roles are separated, the mix gets clearer and your automation gets smarter. On the sub-bass track, keep it simple. Use operator with a sine wave, zero semitone pitch, a fast attack, medium decay, a healthy sustain, and a short release. Add EQ weight if needed, maybe a tiny dip around the low mids if it's poking out, then a little saturator in analog clip mode, and utility to keep it centered. If this is a pure sub track, width goes to zero. The big rule is this: keep the sub mostly static. The more stable the sub is, the more freedom you have everywhere else. Now build the mid-bass. Use wavetable or operator with a richer source. Set up a chain-like synth into auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, then compressor, then utility. You can add echo or hybrid reverb too, but ideally that top movement is separated or parallel, not just slapped onto the whole bass. Set the auto filter as a low pass with a fairly aggressive slope. You'll be automating the cutoff from low, murky positions up into bright, more open positions. Saturator should start modestly. Think controlled aggression, not instant destruction. Then EQ8 to clear out the sub lane and keep the snare body visible. Compression after that to catch peaks and hold the bass in place. Utility is there for width control, but remember, lower material wants to stay tighter. Now here comes the real workflow move. Group those effects into an audio effect rack. This is where advanced automation gets clean. Create macros for filter motion, filter resonance, drive motion, top width, effects end, tone trim, and output trim. The point of the rack is not just convenience. It is safety. Macros let you define useful ranges and build compensation into the movement. For example, if drive motion increases saturation, output trim can come down a little automatically. If the sound gets brighter or harsher, tone trim can gently rebalance it. That is what separates intentional modulation from random parameter chaos. Here's a good way to think about this. Every section has a modulation budget. In any 4-bar block, ask yourself what is moving in tone, what is moving in density, what is moving in space, and what is moving in loudness. If more than two of those are highly active at once, the section will usually start to smear. So if your cutoff lane is busy, your drive lane is busy, your reverb send is busy, and your gain is jumping too, simplify one of them. That one thought alone will save a lot of mixes. Now define the handoff musically. Bars 1 to 4 are filter-led. The bass opens and closes rhythmically, saturation stays mostly stable, width stays controlled, and reverb stays minimal. The movement is tonal. Bars 5 to 8 shift the focus. The filter settles down and distortion drive becomes the main source of excitement. So now the energy comes from harmonic density instead of wild tone swings. Bars 9 to 12 push the movement upward and outward. The body of the bass gets more controlled, while width and ambience start moving in the upper harmonics only. Bars 13 to 16 simplify the bass and let the arrangement do more of the work. Drum fills, break edits, snare throws, reverse effects, little transition moments. The bass stops trying to do everything. That structure is extremely DNB friendly because it keeps the arrangement evolving without sacrificing impact. Let's build the first handoff. In bars 1 to 4, automate filter motion on the mid-bass rack. A practical pattern might start low, around 250 to 400 Hz on beat 1, rise to around 1.5 kHz on beat 2, fall back partway, then open more strongly by beat 4. On the next bar, repeat the shape but let the final opening go brighter, maybe 4 or even 5 kHz. Saturation stays nearly fixed, maybe around 2 dB of drive. Width stays narrowish, around 85 to 95%. This gives you that rolling, breathing bass feel without opening too many fronts in the mix. And here's a very important advanced habit. Whenever the filter opens high and the bass gets brighter, trim the output a little. Maybe half a dB, maybe 1.5 dB. A lot of modulation sounds exciting only because it got louder. You want to compensate for perceived loudness, so you are judging the movement, not just the level jump. This audio version is shortened for playback.